You let me laugh, man. Yeah, love it. You still got the you got the Christmas socks. Still, you
Yeah,
got.
I'm not taking them down. It's yeah, we're in March. I'm not taking them
Correct.
down. There's no point. What's
You're
I like?
celebrating Easter. That's essentially what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah. I love the fact it is Easter. I think tomorrow's Easter. God, the Easter Bunny rose for our sins, I think.
I'm pretty sure that's on the banner. I admittedly, I was just talking about this. Easter is the one holiday that I always forget. Like I keep forgetting, like, oh yeah, Easter is a thing, and like a lot of times, like there'll be plans around Easter. My family didn't really do much Easter wise, so it always just slips my mind, like, oh yeah, that's like a big holiday.
Yeah, it is. It's the holiday where a lot of black people go to church and the women wear big hats and then they put on their best, their Sunday Easter best, you know what I'm saying? Because people Easter's a day that people go to church that they ain't go to church all year. They don't even go to church on New Year's, but they go on God's new birthday.
Yeah, it's. I do like that tradition though. It's like, all right, it's kind of like it's a holiday. We're all gonna dress up big hats, and then head up church. That's cool. That's I never really took part in it, but I like the idea of like dressing up for a gathering.
When I was a kid, I vividly remember like I used to wear like penny loafers, and we put like the pennies in the front, but they'll be too big. So yeah, we like like the paper that come in the shoes, that the paper that be in it, you take it out.
Yes, I do know
We
that.
could we would leave it in. We
Why?
would leave it in because the shoes are too big because you got to grow into them so you can have them for a while.
some people just wear thicker socks, but I see the approach in this as well.
Thick socks, you have to do all that. Multiple socks. Paper in there, depending on how long you gotta wear the shoes for, how big they got, you know? Yeah.
I didn't really run into this one that much. There's an audience member, and I'm pretty sure one of your friends that came to your show last week, who is known for his very big boots, and perhaps he had some stuffing in it as well.
I don't know if he did, but I think all the ladies liked him because of his big boots. That's what I heard. That's what the streets were saying.
The streets and the stage one after one. I may have I don't think I commented on his big boots, but we had some conversations.
Property box.
Welcome, Proper Robotics.
Yo, we in the building, and oh, there it is. I couldn't find my phone.
Your search for the spirit.
The topics. Okay, I got it. I got it.
What topics? We do this seemingly with no we don't plan anything. No, we got topics. We always like to have a nice little guide for the people. Sometimes it's nice just kind of going off without any topics, but sometimes it's nice, especially because there's a lot going on right now. So it's like, all right. Let's touch on some of those things.
Yeah, telling the people that we have topics, man. Is that breaking the fourth wall? Is that what that is?
Breaking the fourth means of earbuds, I guess. I guess someone could be watching too. We could break the fourth wall with them. That's fine. I'll break the fourth wall right now. My voice is a little gravelly. Your boy got some allergy situation going on right now. I don't know if it's noticeable. Does it sound like my voice is a little kooky?
Mean, you mean like differently than normal?
Yeah, it feels like gravelly.
Yeah, a little bit. I can tell you might have eaten something,
Eating
or
something.
like you get something stuck in your throat. You're like, oh, I gotta cough it up. Like you got that kind of flavor in you. I can hear a little bit.
Yeah, man, your boy's on Allegra. I feel like I sound a little bit like Neil Wood right now. Like I kind of like that gravelly voice a little bit. Shout out to him. But yeah, I got a little bit of that going on right now, which is it's fine. Part of me was like, oh man, is this gonna like affect the podcast? But I had to spit through the wire. I had to spit through the wire before we link up next time and before the trip that I got going on.
Can we drop Kanye references? Don't do Kanye thing, bro.
What's to say that was a Kanye reference?
Just spit it through the wire.
That could have been a Shaka Khan reference.
Oh, I was wondering if you want to know what to say. I was like, does he know?
And that's what I was referencing. I don't know what this individual you're referencing,
This
but
individual,
this individual, this
this unpolarizing individual.
this individual that if we did a count of who we've mentioned the most on this podcast would probably be number two, would rank like one step below Kyle Neff. Yeah, I think that individual.
Is he the number one person we've talked about on this
We've
podcast?
talked about Kanye. Kanye has been heavy. Like if we look at like a list of our topics that we've done over the last 5 years, Kanye's on there pretty heavy.
Not our fault.
Not right. We constructed a list, but not our fault. He pops up on there, man. So yeah, you may get a Kanye reference here or there.
Was you acknowledging that there was a Kanye reference.
It was indeed a Kanye reference. It was indeed a Kanye West reference. But this time point in time, I feel like that's like a song embedded in our lives. So that was also like, yo, that was kind of a me reference. That was like a life reference.
So I do not support, you notice I don't support Kanye West's new music or anything that he does anymore,
Just
right?
support clothes. You just
Right.
support.
I don't support, this is my rule. I don't support anything Kanye post antics that I don't disagree with. So it's like once he starts like going and saying things, everything after that, I'm like, I'm not supporting it. I got nothing to do with that. But like College Dropout, it's like I can still get jiggy with that.
Still get college dropout. I don't know, man. College dropout, graduation, beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, like, them things hitting. You know what I mean, like, he wasn't like R. Kelly in where he was like, doing what R. Kelly was doing. So it's like, I can like his stuff before I
We're still
disagree
looking
with
at him on
him.
Spotify.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's still got a couple monthly listeners. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, man, he's not canceled. Like, he's post everything. He starts saying nonsense. He's canceled, but like. Free that, like through the wire and all that. Like, yeah, bro, you can reference that all you
That's a nice doing a brain gymnastics to be like, yeah, I kind of like this artist. Yeah, he wasn't peeing on anybody. And yeah, he had a song that came out before he said all that stuff on Twitter. But you know what I mean? You could listen to some of his songs. Like,
I told my kids that because I told them I wasn't buying Yeezys because I don't support it. They go and look it up. They said that Yeezys came out before he said that slavery was a choice.
are they aching for some Yeezys?
They want Yeezys forever. So it's like instead of saying that like I don't want to buy them because it costs too much, I just like I don't support Kanye.
Okay. Well, what it's good thinking. I always think of those situations and dilemmas like Kanye West pulls up Phantom Power and it's like, I'm putting together a comedy show. I need some comedians. What do you do in this situation? Do you su support Kanye West's comedy show or do you kind of like stray away from that because it's crossing the wires a bit?
I've done yearly, annually comedy shows for the Federal Order of Police in Philadelphia. They paid the check. I told the jokes. I went home and provided for my family. Kanye West is going to pay me a check to tell some jokes. If I ain't going to tell them jokes, bro. Like, I don't disagree with him, like, to the point where my kid's going to starve. Now, I mean, maybe I could. Yeah, like, yeah. I
What
tell.
about?
But I was I, he had to pay me he has to pay me with money pre-antics.
Okay. He has to use the money that he had pre-antics to pay you. If you're getting money afterward, any money after yay, it's it won't. All right, this is the last, ethical one I ask because I'm just curious. All right, so like, say you're in this comedy show and he's like, "All right, that went really well, Alan. You were one of my favorites. Come next to me and take a photo. I'm going to post it to my fans." What are you doing in that situation?
Taking a picture.
Okay.
Yeah, post to your fans. So like this is the thing. Like what does that mean? Like it's not like, oh my gosh, Alan Massenburg believes everything Kanye West says and he's gonna what does that mean, guys? I took a picture with Kanye West. I enjoy some of his previous arts before he went off the deep end. I took a picture, he posted it. My name is buzzing. Now everybody is downloading my album. But it's not like I'm not like, yeah, I'm taking a picture. What about you? Are you gonna take the picture and are you gonna let him put his arm around you and like
What I'm going to do is I'm going to download a copy of We Got Action right after downloading a copy of Mein Kampf. because it seems like those things pair together after that photo comes out. It's, no, I'm joking. But would I take a photo? What I would do in that situation? I think I would be on the show. If it was like a photo thing, yeah, I think I would. And I think I would have maybe some like, oh man, what are, if I'm speaking like candidly about it, it'd be like, oh man, would there be any sort of like internal like conflicts that goes on with that? I don't think so. Yeah, I think it'd be the same thing, like, all right, well, he's puts together a show. There's people out, there's bookers that put on shows that could be doing wild stuff, and like we're out here taking group photos and rocking out on their stages and all that stuff. I think it really then comes down to like, all right, well, what is the individual choice and individual action and behaviors that take place? And maybe that's a cop out. Maybe that is a cop out. I'll speak for myself, sort of thing. But I think that in that situation, that's probably what I would do.
This is America, right? Until you are where you need to be or feel like you want to be, you may have to do things that you may not want to do to get there. So it's like there are racist comedy club bookers, but it's like they paying the bread. We need the bread. We need the stage. We need all this thing. We need that. You know, so it's like until we can get to the place where we don't need them, we got to kind of play the game. So it's like, yeah, if Kanye booking the show, I'm not in a position right now where I can pass that up. You know what I mean?
Sir.
Yeah, so it's like if I was where I need, well, maybe not. Maybe think it differently. But this is the game. This is me taking a picture with Kanye. This is me putting my dress on. That's what that is. This is
Man, don't say that, man. I know what you mean, but don't say
You
that.
know what I mean, though? You
Yeah,
understand what I mean? Like, I'm not saying you guys don't wear a dress, whatever. You know, no, edit it out. You know what I'm
edit
trying
that.
to say, though? It's like you got to do things to get to where you need to go everywhere in life. I'm not saying like you guys know where you address, whatever, you do whatever you want to do, but like, yeah,
I
you
won't
got to
even
do
ask that ethical question. We're not even gonna broach that because I'm afraid of the answer now. wear the dress. That's ridiculous. I would say, yeah, in a lot of ways, perhaps people they feel the need to be maybe associated with people that they know aren't necessarily doing things that align with them. Maybe that's how you end up at a Diddy party. I don't know. That's kind of what I've heard. I'm hearing some things. Alan, have you, I know you've been out in the streets and all that stuff. You're shaking hands with some big people. Have you been to a Puff Daddy party?
I was thinking about this too. Like I'm not like so I've been in the streets, right? Running around a lot. I've been in the he's the one he look, that's Puff Daddy's dog right there.
Yeah.
He didn't want to get my take off.
I know, really. It's like, sorry about that.
No, you're good. So it's like I feel like before things get weird at Diddy parties, they're probably great parties.
They got Ray J. They got Fabulous. White Howard.
Before things get weird, it's probably a great party. It's all I know.
It's the videos I've seen that have always been a little perplexing. It seems like a Puff Daddy and Meek Mills has a pretty close relationship, and there's a lot of Meek Mills almost like doing things for Puff Daddy, like almost like performing for him. Or I saw one where he's like doing like jumping jacks for him, like on a tennis court. And I guess it kind of reminds me a little bit of like kind of like the fraternity lifestyle where it's like, oh man, I'm in your house. I think at one point he called him Daddy, which I guess is his name. But there's a lot of things where it's like, oh, that seems a little peculiar. And then when you go and see more and more like the clips come out and people commenting on Puff Daddy parties. And remember too, though, it's like as of now, there's no like hardcore evidence of anything crazy going on. A lot of it just seems like internet rumors. And I do regret if we are contributing to that and it's not actually the case. But it's more so just it seems like there's a lot of rumblings about his parties and the raid that happened this week of both of his homes, the federal raid of both of his Miami and Los Angeles home, didn't help.
So that's what I'm confused. I don't. So I guess there's like some sexual misconduct and things going on like that, I guess.
They're referring to it as sex trafficking. So, like the idea, I guess the concept now is that there's people being funneled into the house or wherever he situates himself, and it's under the pretext of sexual ongoings. I don't have the full-blown definition of sexual trafficking or sex trafficking, but I think a lot of times it's kind of the use of coercion to bring people in and use them for sexual activities.
So how do you like when you raid a house? Does my house in there right now? Like what? What are you looking for when you raid mansions and stuff like that? What happened? Like so I don't know. Like because I know that like I've seen a lot of people that were like sexual. All these people like what are they? I don't understand a raid. It's not like he's I
That's the
don't.
thing. It could have been, for all we know, it could have been excessive. But it could also, I think the idea is like, all right, well, if we're seeing X, Y, and Z and thinking you're sex trafficking, do you have some of those people that have been trafficked in your home? Do you have anything on your computers that we may want to use as evidence?
Yeah.
Are there secret tunnels? Like things like that. It seems pretty wild that they would raid a mansion. Do you own sex traffic cones? It seems pretty wild that they would get into both homes and seems pretty serious. I know there's a lot of talk as well of, again, kind of like, is it just like a hit on Puff Daddy? Is he not really doing anything crazy? And it's just like, oh, let's go after him with excessive force. I hear that part too, but that's the scene. It seems like it'd be pretty serious if you're at federal government inside your house like that.
I think the feds need to stay off social media.
That's
I
nice.
feel, I feel, I feel like, I feel like I'm not saying Diddy didn't do everything they say he's done. I'm just saying though, like I feel like they also have a perspective of people and what they do from what we from what we all see and have that same perspective of. So it's kind of like, yo, this is crazy with Diddy. These things are crazy with Diddy. If you got these agents every day and they just scroll on their phones and they look at the same thing we looking at, they probably think it's crazy too. So it's like, I don't know.
I'm inclined to believe though that it's they're not basing it like mostly off using social media. Like it's probably a matter of like people have like reported stuff to them and they've built a case. Like we know the whole situation with Cassie was one thing, and if that's one person, I mean there could be other situations. I just don't know if they would be like, all right, let's scroll down Twitter and see what we get. I think they do that for rappers on a lower scale that they won't raid their homes. But with this one, it seems like there may have been other situations.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that this is the basis of their case. I am saying that social media also blows it up in their mind too. So it's like we do know about the Cassie thing. We do know about allegations, but like I'm sure when they, I'm sure because the agents are human. When they're scrolling down, they see a Vlad TV interview of some random Diddy bodyguard. They may read that and listen, or they may listen to that. They may be like, let me see. And they may read comments. And I'm telling you, I think that social media is also warping the aid, like FB, the cops in general, warping their minds. You see rappers on there with bling bling and all that. And you'd be like, oh, look at him, got the jewelry. And now you want to go put a case on him and see what he's doing. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't think I'm not saying that this is the reason. Like, yo, social media is the reason they're looking into Diddy. But I am saying though, like, I think that. That's why I think it's just crazy for his allegations to be his house to be raided. I was like, what? It threw me off. I never heard of a sexual thing, but I guess if it's sex trafficking, trying to look up his computers, I get that. But it just the first thing I thought though, I was like, sex a raid? I was like, they're not doing it right now, are they? That's my
Yeah,
first thought.
that's also, yeah, Vlad TV definitely has had a role in this. I'm not even joking. Vlad TV is just constantly, it's like, all right, maybe, hey guys, don't go on Vlad TV. But again, though, it's associates sell sometimes go on there too. It was interesting that they would raid the home, but he's not facing any charges. Like right now, there's no charges against Puff Daddy. It's like they actually interacted with him when he was like flying out to like what, I mean, Miami. And you saw like federal agents there talking with them, but there's no charges. So that part, those two things are peculiar.
So, if there's no charges and you raid and trash my house, do you owe me money now?
I know. Yeah, I always think about that. someone tries to raid my apartment, it's like, all right, you go and pick up that copy of Brothers Karamazov, you kind of just knocked it over. What the heck?
One time, the cops raided my house one time looking for somebody. He wasn't there, but they broke the door. Like, we just had to get our door fixed on our own. Like,
Ugh.
and that was it.
Cops, do better.
It was like, don't
That's
have
terrible.
bad friends. Like, bro, what?
You see that cop years later, you're performing for him on stage. It's speaking of social media, man. So 50 Cent, he's I don't know if relishing in this is necessarily the right word, but he is definitely indulging in Diddy news. He's on Diddy alert. He's been one keeping me updated on everything. How do you feel about how do you feel about another rapper slash another black man kind of amplifying issues that haven't necessarily been seen as a charge?
50.
Yeah.
It's 50. You can't hold 50 to any other standard, 50 Cent standard. And 50 also has a long-standing beef with Diddy. So it's like, yeah, he couldn't wait for this. He couldn't wait for this. He called him Puffy.
It's apparently 50 Cent's ex-wife and the mother of, like, I think maybe all or some of his children, she has been listed as one of the alleged sex workers at Puff Daddy's place, and he is now placing or putting in he's trying to get full custody of his children because of this.
So the woman's name is Daphne Joy, and her and 50 Cent have a 12-year-old son named Sire, and so 50 Cent heard about these allegations and how her name was in the paperwork, so he filed for full custody of his son. That's what
Yeah.
happened. So then what she did was then she took the Instagram into her stories and she put a long story up accusing 50 Cent of abusing and raping her.
Damn.
Yeah.
Ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. Yeah, that's
So,
crazy.
wild spin on that one. So it's kind of like, so
Sheesh.
I won't say my first reaction, but that's what happened.
I did not know about that part about allegations against 50 Cent. I don't know if Puff Daddy's going to go on IG Live with this one, but probably best to both parties chill out a little bit. Yeah, and that's pretty wild. I didn't know that part. I'm curious your take on it because this is news to me.
Yeah, that's what happened. My first take was like, I don't know her and 50 Cent's history. I don't know if she's said he's done these things before, but to say that 50 Cent raped you because he filed for full custody of his child is crazy to me. Like, that's crazy to me. Like, I'm a very private person, especially with my kids. So to like, I couldn't imagine like saying that about my kid's mom or saying something bad because she tried to get full custody. So it's like, yo, we adults. Like, why you, if I file for, unless 50 Cent went online and like say, yo, I filed for custody because, well, I think he did call her a sex worker. I think that's what happened. He
Yeah,
called her
that
a
was
sex worker.
yeah.
So he did call her a sex worker, but then she said, but like, I
It's a
guess
pretty good
I can see the
allegation.
retaliation. Yeah, I can see the retaliation. Okay, he did call you a sex worker. You said he raped you. Like, that rape is a very, like, that's a, like, that's like,
A big one.
that's worse than like, that's it. Like, what's worse than that? You know what I mean? So it's kind of like, that's why I was like, ooh, the rape one? He said he raped you? Like, I mean,
Yeah. Yeah, that's a rough one. That's a matter of if I don't I want to speak on like if true, if not true, because like allegation is an allegation. I get the kind of the hesitancy. Or maybe like I don't want to say criticism, but a little criticism of the idea of like coming out with that after all this versus like if someone I don't want to say like it's when it's appropriate to like call out rape. I think like rape is one of those things where it's like, yeah, you call it when you're ready to do it, sort of thing. There's also a side of it of like when it's kind of attached to a means of retaliation.
yeah.
I get a little bit of like, eh, part of it with it, where there's a little bit of like, eh, like it's not great when it's like linked to the two, but also it's also not great. What's terrible is rape as a whole. That's awful.
When I seen that, I was like, man, like that's tough. Like I hate when the co-parents feud. Like, man, and that's it's bad because the kid's 12, he's online, his friends are online, and it's all this is that's a lot, you know. I think that so it's crazy how this Diddy fiddling turn into like all this co-parenting squabbling. I
Yeah, Diddy fiddling. Do
don't know.
you think 50 Cent's kids listen to Dipset?
I know the older son probably listens to favorite rappers, probably Ja Rule, because he don't like 50.
Yeah, and I saw those. Yeah, 50 Cent. Yeah, we see a lot of his family beefs. 50 Cent's been like, and I won't say 50 Cent relies on beefs. That's not true. I think 50 Cent's actually a really good rapper and has been like beyond icon game. He was kind of like a time shifter in the game. When we think of landmarks in hip hop, 50 Cent is one of them, like his era, sort of thing. Notable beefs that include both rappers and his family. Like that's just throughout his whole course of his career. It's kind of interesting.
I think that 50 Cent relying on beef is not a stretch.
A lot, I would say.
So look, I think that we both know that 50 Cent probably would have been great without beefs, right? But he had beefs this whole way through. The reason he started popping because he made that song How to Rob, where
Yeah.
he talked about everybody in the industry. People were hating on him. That's what blew him up.
Yeah.
His first album, he came in the game going at one of the hottest rappers in the game, which was Ja Rule. Like, he was beefing with his family, beefing with the game, beefing with, like, he, Fat Joe, beefing with Jadakiss, beefing, like,
Chelsea Handler.
wait,
There's
I thought he was with her. Wasn't he with her at one point?
a little bit of beef afterwards, a little bit of beef. A little bit beef, but for the most part, I think they're settled now.
Vivica A. Fox, you know what I mean?
Damn,
Like,
he was the that's yeah. There's a lot of that. I think if like you watched Beef 1 and 2, the game. I forgot about the game. I'd
the
say
game.
Game is someone that he's someone that I think relied on beef a little bit more. Whereas like his raps were constantly bringing up other people's names, even if it was giving them props. I feel like that's an instance of like okay, relying on conflict or other people's names. 50 Cent definitely like used it to his advantage, but it wasn't the only thing that made him big. But it definitely was a part of
I think he came in the game. He shot 9 times. Like that was the big. You can't much beef. You can't get beef than
it.
that.
Yeah, that was one of the big beefs there. So yeah, it's kind of a testament in some ways when we think back to East Coast, West Coast a little bit as well. Not to say that comparison is always a way to go, but we saw this week Dr. Dre got his star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, which is kind of crazy. I'm not surprised who doesn't have this. Like you told me Dr. Dre had this like 10 years ago. Like, yeah, sure. No clue he didn't have one, but he's up there. He was on Kimmel. He just announced Eminem's new album. And then on the West Coast side, and then on the East Coast side, Puffy's going through some issues. Puffy's going through some issues. But we'll see how it plays out.
It's funny you brought up Eminem because I hear a lot of black people talk shit about Eminem.
Yeah.
Talk about how like nobody was blasting Eminem in the hood. Nobody, I was blasting Eminem, bro.
Everyone was blasting like that. That's
I was blasting Eminem, you know. Like me and my dad used to run around listening to that all the time.
yeah, I think it's a misconception. I feel like most people, regardless of where you are, be like, oh yeah, like you're a fan of hip hop, you listen to Eminem or you've heard him in group settings. You may not necessarily hear Eminem in the club as much because I feel like Eminem's club songs are more like radio pop songs.
Yeah, because In the Club is 50 song.
It's
Sorry.
ridiculous. But yeah, I listen to Eminem too, and like I feel like if you're a hip hop fan, Eminem was around. But some people kind of have that. You'll hear that a lot on like Drink Champs. A lot of people are just like, will say like I was better than Eminem or Eminem's not that good, and I think some people give Eminem pushback. I know my brother was one of them, gave him pushback for some of his lyrics that were deemed a bit homophobic. So I think there's like even some stuff of that where he gets pushback. But in scale of or scope of hip hop lyricism, it's like yeah, Eminem's definitely recognized.
deemed in the scope of homophobic is hilarious.
That's wild wordsmithing right there. I don't know, are we caping for a bunch of like bad rappers right now? We started off with Kanye, talking about Diddy, and then Eminem. Are
But
we
that was not a bad rapper.
not bad rappers, but like the idea that like people are like, oh, problematic. That's the thing. You got to recognize, like, even if problematic, I mean, you and I, we could recognize, like, okay, there's some artists that we have or do enjoy. But it's interesting, just like, oh yeah, first 20, 30 minutes of the podcast, you know, those rappers that may have caused some problems, we've got their back here on Proper Ebonics.
They're just our rappers. They're from our era. Like, they're our rappers. Like, this is our time right now. Okay?
Our
If anybody should
times.
be talking about it, it's us.
I don't know if I'm sure there's some like country artists that are in trouble right now. Perhaps we'll camp out for them on the next one.
Speaking of country artists, Beyonce just dropped.
She
Beyonce
did.
just dropped a new country album.
I've now listened to it.
I heard a couple snippets. I mean, the girls online loving it, of course. You know what I mean? So it's like,
Texas Hold'em is the one song that I do know. It's a catchy song. It's the one that sounds like Franklin.
this ain't Texas.
Yes, it sounds exactly.
This
Yes, exactly that.
ain't Texas.
Is that the way you do the face?
That's the
She's tapping in. People say she's tapping in Dolly Parton. It's like, no, I think she's tapping in Elvis. She's moving her hips.
Elvis. The funny part is the white people that was getting mad at her. I remember talking about this last time. I get mad at her about being, doing country music. It was like, you know, we made country music first too. You know that, right? We pretty much started all music. So it's like,
That's what I'm
no.
saying when it comes to like music stuff. It's like, yeah, you can't really can't be mad at any black artists for anything that they do out there. Yeah, I'm sure it's good. Good luck to her. I don't even want to bring this into existence, but there is a part of the Diddy talks and people out there mentioning, like, kind of joking around, like, oh, Hov's next. And I've actively, whenever I see that on someone's timeline, I just comment false and just leave. Like, well, man, don't even bring that in there, man. It's I've never heard any sort of like, wow, and I guess it doesn't matter what I heard or didn't hear, but like that would be a bummer. And I don't think that's the case, so I won't bring even that into existence, but I don't like to hear that talk.
Don't talk about that in my not in my presence. It's like, listen, man, Hope can do no wrong. But listen, if Hope comes out and does something wrong, they have the beehive on his team though, so he can never go too wrong. You mean you got the beehive?
That's maybe, yeah, that's like, could that we'll see if they have his back on there. Beehive got a little crazy with them during that Lemonade era, so I don't know, the Beehive, they're fickle, not fickle, but they're ready to swarm when needed.
Swarm when needed. Good
Yeah,
point.
but
Who's who's Aaron Taylor Thomas? That's the guy from Home Improvement.
oh, funny show. I forgot all that. No, that's a good guess. This is the dude. So Aaron Taylor Thomas, or Aaron Taylor Johnson, rather. He was in the movie Kick-Ass. He's been in a few of the Marvel movies, and he's also he's been pinned to be the next James Bond. So it's been Daniel Craig over the last few years, and now it's going to be this guy.
Oh, his name is Johnson.
Yeah, Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Oh, you wrote Thompson.
Ryan Thompson. Pat, if you could fact check me, because it may be Thompson on there. I
Fact
saw
check is right
it's
on my phone.
no, it's Johnson. Yeah, I wrote Thompson.
You can't see it, people, but I can see it says Thompson.
Oh, that's a spell check sort of thing. But yeah, his name is Aaron Taylor Johnson. Truthfully, I had to look him up before sending it to you, so I don't know how I misspelled it, because I don't know his name off the cuff. But he's been in a handful of movies. And one of the discussions that have been brought up around him is that for him, he's been married to someone that I think is significantly older than him. I want to say I can pull it up through here. She's a director of one of his movies. She is 57 and he is 33. They met. When she was directing a movie that he was in when he was 18 years old. And I guess they started dating from then, and they've been married for the last 10 years.
So what's the math on that? So she when they got married, He was 23. She was 47.
She was like mid-40s. So mid-40s, he's 18. And people have been talking about it in the sense that a lot of times people mention the idea of like predatory behaviors, people in power and position, and kind of maybe wielding some of that for people that may be significantly younger. In this case, the person's 18. But a lot of times people are kind of suggesting like, oh, okay, well, if it was the other way around, if it was a male director, started dating like this 18-year-old, kind of like seep into her brain or whatever, it would be deemed as something that be frowned upon.
Yeah.
Personally, I see no issues with either matter. I do think there is more of a stigma, maybe double standard when it's the other way around, maybe because we see more of it. But at the same time, I'm like, all right, if they're of age and that's something that they choose to do, then yeah, whatever, that's fine. When you hear a story like this of like someone looking after someone that's like 18 or so, do alarms go off in your head, or do you think it's just something that's kind of nothing really to bat an eye at?
You're absolute weirdo if you do stuff like this. Absolute weirdo.
You're not, in what regard?
Like, I think that the older person has something wrong with them. There's something wrong with you if you're looking at somebody that's 25 years younger than you. Somebody who's 18, you in your 40s, late 30s, 40s, look at somebody that's 18. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'm curious to elaborate on that a little bit more. Like that question, like what's wrong with them? I guess my question to that is, what is wrong with it? Like what? And not saying that there isn't anything wrong, but what do you think is wrong with it?
So like, it's legal, right? It's legal, but like, it's giving like manipulative. It's giving like preying on someone. It's like you know what I mean? It's kind of like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like predatory. It's kind of like
I think
it
a lot
just
of
doesn't.
people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I think no, I think that's the those are words that are used for a lot of relationships like that. Kind of more so the other way around whenever there's a guy, and whether that be like famous people, like a lot of times like teachers, like when you hear teachers start dating their former students once they turned 18, it was like, all right, well, what were you thinking when they were 16, sort of thing. What were you thinking when they were 14 and all that? So yeah, I think there is that stigma to it where it's like, all right, is this predatory, especially like if you're in higher power, like the director of some situation, and this person, while they may be legal, they haven't fully developed yet. I think it is within people's prerogative to not have that as a preference and maybe see it as a little strange, or not even strange, but yeah, something that they wouldn't necessarily align with. Morally, do I think it's wrong? I won't say wrong. I would say it's maybe questionable and not necessarily like a route that I would take. But I'm fascinated by the idea of hearing how people discuss it versus men versus women. And it's kind of a relief in some ways to hear that you also feel this way when it's the other way around, when it's like a woman and a guy versus just when it's a guy and a woman.
I don't like when people take advantage of people. I don't like bullies. I don't like stuff like that. So I just feel like you're taking advantage of somebody when you were. So I was, when I was 18 years old, I talked to a 36-year-old woman, right? At the time, I thought she was 31. I didn't realize later that she was older than she seemed. Like, so from the rip, she was just like already older than me and was like lying about her age, she did not seem as old because she knew it was wrong. Like, but just me just being impressionable, I seen the fat butt, I was like, I don't even care. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah,
Would
so
you have not dated her if you knew she was 36?
no, it wouldn't matter to me
Right.
because I wasn't trying to marry this lady. I was a freshman in college. I was having fun. You know what I mean? So it's like, but like looking back though, like years went by before I realized how old she really was. You know what I mean? Like, And I was just like, "Dang, that's crazy!" Like you was just like, you was why was you where we was at? Like, why are you where 18-year-olds at? Like, so it's just weird.
People have that in them sort of thing where like that discrepancy isn't really there. Like they just maybe attract to who they're attracted to, or maybe they have a thing for their people that are a lot younger for X, Y, and Z reasons. And that sort of like line isn't there as long as it's legal for some people and it's not legal either. And I think there's also like a league of people, sounds like for you and I and for like a lot of others, that it would be like, oh, what would you be doing with someone that young? Like, what is what? How do you correspond with them? Is it something that's mainly fueled by sex? And what does that mean given the person's age and maturity level? See, I think there can be seen as elements of predatoriness to it. I think there's definitely a strong power dynamic, and not say again that that's necessarily wrong, but it's notable. So yeah, that's going on with them. We'll be seeing him in the next James Bond if you're into action movies. He'll be out there. 00 MILF.
Oh, no.
You correct me if there's any other topics you want to get into before this, but I was thinking this would be a good time to break people off with some prop suggestions.
Something to break you off.
French author Maud Ventura did a novel, a debut, and it's called My Husband. My Husband by Maud Ventura. And essentially, it's this tale of this wife who loves her husband. That is the whole book. She is in love with her husband. She is obsessed with her husband. She is infatuated with her husband. A lot of times people, they get in this phase when they first start dating someone, and then as time goes on, you get a little more comfortable sort of thing, and maybe you're able to let your guard down a little bit. This person, not the case. This person is in a 10-year marriage, 15-year relationship, and still holds up almost like a facade, and refuses to let their guard down in front of their husband. This person marks down any sort of interactions and what's deemed as like minor infractions for the husband. If the husband is late for something or misses a call or perhaps doesn't put his hand on her hand while they're sitting down on the couch, she notes it as an infraction, an injustice of love. And without giving any spoilers, this person may provide some punishments for these very minor things. The whole book is pretty much the inner workings of someone that is overtly anxious in their relationship and has so much preoccupation with it. And it's pretty much you're just hearing their, you're not hearing anyone else. This minor spoiler that was here, cut us off for next 5, 10 seconds if you're planning on reading this book, which I hope you do. We don't even learn the husband's name. The whole time the husband is referred to as my husband. They have children. We don't know the children's names because she's so infatuated with just her relationship with her husband versus, oh yeah, this is an actual person. She doesn't really see him much as that. She's like, oh, this is an attachment of my love. It was a fascinating read, really well written. I was captivated. I bodied it within like 2, 3 weeks. And I would say it's something that's going to be looked upon as a classic in a few years. And for those that enjoyed books like Notes from the Underground or American Psycho, where it's just one person's monologue the whole time, but still captivates you, this is something that I think you'll enjoy.
Who wrote this, John?
Maud Ventura, she's a French author, and this is her debut.
Nice. So, what made you buy this?
You know what? I was thinking about this man. I don't know how I got on this. I think I put it on Goodreads. And I was like, oh, and then I went to the library, shout out to Chesco Library, and it was on wait list. And I was like, hey, I just put my name on it, whatever. And then they called me like a week later, like, oh, it's ready. I just finished that other book that I wasn't too crazy about. So I picked this one up and it was captivating. I was like, I'll give it the 15-page rule, and I just stuck through it. I enjoyed it.
What's your first 15-page book? Read it 15 minutes, 15 pages, and if you like it, you keep going. You try that. Okay. All right. My suggestion would be to go onto Netflix. check out the Shirley Chisholm movie.
Sure, thank you.
Shirley Chisholm is the first black Congress person, I think. First black Congress person. I mean, black woman. She actually ran for president for the presidency in the 70s. The movie's starring Regina King. It's very informative. This is the last day of this today's last day of no, tomorrow's the last day of Women's History Month. So yeah, by the time y'all hear this, it'll be over, but it's never too late to celebrate our women. So yeah, check out the Shirley Chisholm story. Learn something. You can learn something. It's only take a couple 2 hours, hour and 55 minutes. You need credits, hour 50 minutes, you know what I'm saying? Just,
Yeah, I like Regina King. She's always giving out bangers. I like her.
yeah, she never misses, you know what I mean? It's a good role too, because Shirley Chisholm had like a thing on her tooth, and they did the same thing to Regina's tooth. It was
Yeah.
cute.
Yeah, just because Women's History Month is over, you could still do it. You could still celebrate in April and the Junes and such. Yeah, the last one that I saw with Regina King was, I think, The Harder They Fall. And she was Regina, yeah, she was in, I hope I'm not, no, I'm pretty, she was definitely in Boys in the Hood. I believe she was the sister.
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, sometimes like I mix her and Nia Long up. But it was like, but yeah, that's, she was a sister in it. Nia Long was
Yes.
in it too.
Yeah, but she was a sister, yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so. Check out Boys in the Hood too if you want. It's been a lot. I gotta revisit that. There's a few movies I mean to revisit. Which, by the way, shout out to Roadhouse, the remake of Roadhouse. I watched that 2 nights ago. My friend Ray, Conor McGregor's debut acting debut, and fun movie.
Was he any good?
Yeah, it was exactly what you expected from a Roadhouse movie. Jake Gyllenhaal was fantastic. Like, I know it was kind of like a silly action movie, but he played it really well. So that was like a that was a notable performance by him. I like that. And McGregor was fun too.
Was it in theaters?
No, so we did it on Amazon. I guess like it went straight to Amazon Prime. But it was solid out
Gotcha.
there. One thing I wanted to talk to you, man. I could have texted this over to you, but I'll talk to you on the show about it too. So Amsterdam, you know, your boy's going out there, and one of the goals is to get on a show.
Yes.
So updates on my end. I got booked on two, originally got booked on two shows and from going on one of the Facebook pages. And then upon confirmation, I recognized that because the Facebook page is like a comedy in Netherlands, not necessarily comedy in Amsterdam, they confirmed like, yeah, so this is 2 hours away from your Airbnb. And I was like, all right, it's kind of a hike. That's like, it's like I'm on vacation sort of thing. I don't have a car, sort of like that. So it's like could find a way, but ultimately I opted out of that show because it was like, all right, not say this is a bad thing, but not paid, which is whatever. Again, not the issue here, but it's like, all right, going on vacation, there's already a lot of travel, and also that idea of like show lets out 11 o'clock, 2 hours back over. I'm electing, I'm gonna roll the dice and be like, I'm gonna instead try to get on something closer. So that's I have found something that pretty much, I don't know if it was like this for you, but they book it like a week and a half in advance. Like they're like, don't DM, like they won't read it sort of thing. And like which I still have. But like they and I've seen them, I've seen past examples of it. Like they do the post. People mention and then they post the lineup and it's like, okay, it seems like that's the case. And their disclaimer is very much like if you're coming from outside of Amsterdam, we guarantee you'll be on. So I was like, all right, I'd feel more secure if I was able to like get this out of the way in terms of the booking part. But I think I'm gonna bank on that one. But how did you feel about that? Because I know you've done stuff in Amsterdam, I know you've done stuff like out while out there. If you're going on vacation somewhere and you'd like to get on stage. And you get presented with an option to do so, but it's 2 hours away. How do you think you navigate that?
I think so. For me, it's so funny because the exact same thing happened. It could have been the same show, right? That
Oh, that's crazy.
I did it. I did it. I caught the train out to this show. It was like the show was like in the middle of nowhere. It was like half Dutch, half English. So it was like some of the comedians weren't. I didn't even understand what they was talking about. You know what I mean?
Right.
But for me, my trip was like all about me. So it's kind of like it was my birthday trip. It was doing whatever I wanted to do. So it's kind of like I want to go do as much comedy as possible. I don't think it was 2 hours though. 2 hours is far. Like, is that still in Netherlands? You know what I mean?
It was out there. It
Yeah.
started with a G. So like Googan something.
Yeah, like it was. I forget the name of the place I did it, but it was out there. I had called like a train. We called like another train out to this place, and yeah, it was a hike. I think you're doing the right thing by not going all the way out there though. Yeah, because you're talking about 2 hours there, 2 hours back, 2 hours for the show. Like that's a night. Like
I think if it was like maybe, like if I was going for same purposes of like just get out like by myself and doing comedy stuff, I would entertain it more because I'd be like, okay, maybe just go into that town for the day.
yeah.
But since we got plans, we got museums to check out and all that stuff, it's like, all right, that's, I think I would also, if there weren't other opportunities closer, I would maybe consider it a bit more. But since there are, granted, I haven't like been officially booked on yet, but since there are, I'm like, all right, I have those there. So that's pretty much the goal right there, to pop on one of those and make that happen.
Bro, you're a black comedian from America. They're putting you up.
Bro, let's I won't talk crazy on here and all that stuff, but there's some where I'm like, that's pretty surprising. That's like, I don't know, man. It's like I feel like a lot of times when you reach out, there's a way to do it. And I feel like I, for my method is like, all right, find out who's the person doing the show, reach out in a respectful way, send a tape with like, here's a 5 minute thing. And at the very least, it's like, okay, well, like hit me back sort of thing. Some people
Yeah.
aren't even hit back, which I'm like, I'm a little surprised by that. But like, that's their way. That's fine. That's the shouts of people that have hit back, including people that booked me on those because they're responsive. One of the shows was on a boat, which I was like, fuck, that seems pretty cool. That's
You
it
get
was
on
like,
that?
yeah, no, I got on that one too. So I was like, all right, well, that seems pretty damn cool. But I could get on, I'll try to get on a boat show down towards Penn's Landing. But yeah, man, it's more to come from the streets. Kirk will let you know what sort of happens in Amsterdam and get these jokes off. It's gonna be nice.
Yeah, man. Now I want to go to Amsterdam now. That sounds like a lot of fun, man.
Be cool if you
So
pop through. It'd be cool if you pop through.
yeah.
In
You
like 2 days.
just pop up in Amsterdam. Yeah, right. One day, that's the goal. The goal, when I can just pop up in Amsterdam, then I won't need to be doing shows produced by Kanye.
It's wild. Like it's a pretty big comedy scene. They're not like big comedy scene, but it's an active comedy scene in Amsterdam.
It's the biggest city in the country, so it's like it's a country, it's a city. Like people got something to say.
Yeah, I want to say shout out to the Philadelphia comedy scene. One of the things that just from going through this is, and this applies for a lot of places in America too, I feel, but with Philadelphia, if someone's coming out of town, especially if they're coming out of the country or whatever, I've noticed like Philadelphia will hook you up. Like even if it's like someone you reach out to someone, they won't put you on their show. They'll find someone. Like, they will guide you in the right direction, which I always thought was a really cool thing. And sometimes it's not the case in other places. So shout out to Philly for that.
Yeah, that shout out to them for that. I think that as a comedy community, man, you gotta show love. Like, imagine if it was you in a situation. It's like if you were out of town, would you want somebody that you
Yeah.
love to treat people the same way? How you want to be treated? You know?
Yeah. But yeah. Someone reached out to me. It was like, yeah, I want to hop on something here, even if I'm not booking it. Like, I'll guide them there because I'm like, all right, that's a pretty cool thing that you're coming out and reached out. Also depends on how you're reaching out too. Like, you're coming out when it's like you got the crazy comedy name and the message seems like spam. It's like, all right, well, this is questionable.
What do you mean the crazy comedy name? This is sounding racist, Kirk.
crazy comedy name like Phil the comedian slash plumber back at you now. That's the whole name. Like, yeah, that's a crazy comedy name.
I'm
Shout out to
gonna tell
Phil.
y'all now. I'll tell y'all now. Y'all come to this, yeah, wherever y'all come and reach out to Kirk. Do not reach out to me. don't reach out to me, yo. I would love to help y'all if I see y'all in person, but I hate being reached out to unless it's about. This is about my show. You know what I mean? Like, if it's about my show, or like, you know, I know somebody, but like, just being like, Yo, I'm coming to the city. You know what's going on? I hate those.
Well, yeah, that's a wild message. You know what's going on. I will, granted, if I see their page and see like they're doing comedy stuff, I think I'll respond to it. It seems like for you it happens a lot more, and I think that could kind of take up some time because it's like if that's happened constantly. But yeah, if people were to reach out in that way, that's fine. But and perhaps this should have been a proper suggestion. One way to do it too is just like tell a little bit, not a whole paragraph, not a whole thing, but tell a little bit about yourself, say the dates you're coming through, and maybe drop like a little tape if you know them even better, or if you know someone that knows them even better. But that would be my suggestion when reaching out to people. We'll see if it works.
You send me a tape and they got 0 views when you send it to me, it's gonna still be on 0 views.
So you, why is that? Like if they, someone has their thing as like private, or like they have it unlisted and it only opens like if you send a link to it, why do the views, they matter to you?
What I mean is, and I'm t this is for comedians listening, right? If you send me a tape on some out the blue, just send me a tape because you think I'm booked. You just send me a tape. I'm not watching it. That's what I mean.
Interesting.
I'm not watching it. I feel like we gotta have some, unless I am asking for, like I produce shows, but I'm not like a booker. Like I don't like I like booking people that I know, people that I can trust, people that, you know what I mean? Like unless I'm looking, unless I'm inquiring, like let's you see me put a post out there, like yo, I'm looking for comedians. That'd be different. But like, cause like especially like in New York, what happens is. They got your names on all these lists. So people come to the city and they like go through the list and literally just message every person on this comedy list to have a show in New York.
Right.
So I get people like, hey man, coming in from Tucson. I performed at the Funny Bone in Phoenix. I don't even know if there's a Funny Bone there. Opened up for Kevin Nealon one time. It's like, bro, like
It's
what?
a very specific example. Very specific example. No,
I get it. I get it though. Look, I get it. I get the hustle. I get the struggle. But sometimes you gotta think about the person you're messaging. That's how you make a good message. Think about it from my point of view. Like, think about it. Like, yo, he already got a bunch of comedians messaging him. Think about it. Do something different. You gotta do something different. But everybody wanna do the same thing. Everybody do the same thing you're saying, Kirk. For you, okay. Look, I sound very negative right now.
I'm curious.
I feel like comedians, we should message and reach out to bookers this way. You got to be professional. This is who I am. This is what I've done. This is the date I'm looking for. Send the tape. That's how you do it professionally. But I'm not a professional booker. Like I don't own a club. I don't own a venue. Like I'll just produce shows sometimes so I can make some money, right? So it's like I'm not really like in the business of
Super.
trying to grow my comedian portfolio. Whereas though. I got a guy booked for September and a guy booked for October. Bro, I can't think that far ahead. Like,
Yeah. It's no, that's why I get that part too, where it's like if it feels like an oversaturation and it's like it's sucking a lot of your time out. Like I said, I don't get a ton of these messages. So when I do get one, it's like, oh yeah, not a problem sort of thing. But if it was like getting 10 a day, yeah, I could see why that would, you'd have to like kind of create maybe a little bit of a barrier for yourself in that. Yeah, so I get that part. I still think it's okay for the people to do it and make that effort versus like going somewhere and not making the effort and then feeling like, oh, I wish I had made that effort afterwards. I think it's still good to do that. I still think it is good for people to send a professional message and if they choose to send a tape, because sometimes people will watch it, especially if you feel like, yeah, I would be good on this. I would definitely rock out on this. Yeah, I think you should do it.
so I realize I do sound like a curmudgeon, but you want to rock out on my show, just come. If you come to my show and you like, yo, I'm from Amsterdam, can I get 5 minutes? I'm gonna be like, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's what I like. I mean, like, but I understand how that is though. Like, so how about what you do is you come to the city, book some other things just to make sure you got some things going on. But just slide through my joint. And then I gotta throw you up, but like, it's so much going on, man. People be like, "Yo, I don't even make my comedy flyers for my shows like 2 days before." People be like, "Yo, where the flyer at?" Like, man, don't worry, just come to the show.
I can respect, man. And that's the approach I'm going to take as well. If for whatever reason I don't hear back from them, I'm just going to pull up, like, hey, listen, co-host of Proper Ebonics, Pennsylvania, down in town, put me on the show. We'll see.
Real rap though, real rap. The show that didn't get back to you. If you ain't doing nothing, if you ain't doing it one night, you around and the show going on, slide through. Hey, don't know if you see my message. I know you booked. I know you're busy. You got a lot of things going on, but I was just happened to be in town. Just wondering, you got 5 minutes? Like
Right.
I'm black from America.
See what's going on up there? Take a knee at the club. Before we dip out and all that stuff, Matt, I figured we'd do a reflection. Last time we had a mutual goal and we met it. I want to touch base on it. We set a goal that for we're going to add some engagement to the Proper Ebonics page by doing a monologue joke per day. We're going to take turns going back and forth. And that's something that we did the day of recording. We started it and we ended it, like, I want to say maybe a day or so after your album recording, which mentally was what I kind of had in mind that we were going to do it up until then. I don't know if I necessarily conveyed that over. But how are you feeling about this and the responses we got?
I liked doing the monologue jokes. I liked the responses. I wasn't sure that you were done after a week, but I couldn't. I just had a lot going on, and I couldn't like. I don't know. I wanted to do it. I was driving, so I kind of I didn't want to stop, but I kind of just stopped doing it. But it was fun.
Yeah.
I think that this is something that just whenever you want to do a monologue joke on
Oh,
it. Yeah, just knock one out. It's, yeah, people like it. We're getting views. I mean, the most engagement we had in like a
yeah.
year consistently.
Yeah, and it was fun too, the idea of like creating, because I had like a whole book of old jokes, not old jokes, I wrote them all in February. And I was like, okay, I have this whole depository that I can go back on if needed. And sometimes, like you mentioned, it felt like a time crunch where it's like, ah man, like I'm really just trying to get this in because I have like other things to do. However, I did also like the idea of like, oh, here's a new joke for today that I wrote specifically for this. It
Yeah.
brought some energy to the writing, and also just like saying it and like kind of like posting it out there. I think I may have told you how I went to my friend's show, music show, and his wife, one of the first things she said was like, hey, I've been watching the jokes of the day that you guys have been doing. I've really been liking it. And I didn't even know she followed the page.
Yeah.
So it was cool in that way. It was cool. Like people were digging it and it was fun to have that mutual goal.
Yeah, like I said, I think that whenever you get the spirit, just pop one in. Like I know I'm going to,
Yeah.
yeah, because it's an exercise, get your brain working. You know what I'm saying? Having goals keeps you structured and it keeps you going places. So yeah, I think that I'm gonna just drop them in. So
Yeah, man, when you inspired, that Chris Jenner one was by far my favorite.
the question.
Was
Oh.
it, the balls in your court or something?
No, I said. I said Lamar Odom and Caitlyn Jenner are doing a
Oh.
sports podcast together. They're going to be talking about basketball, eight balls, and no balls.
That was good. That was good. They gave me a good chuckle. That was good.
Stuff.
Yeah, man. So that was fun. And Prusa Pat, that goes for you as well. It's actually going to reach out and be like, Prusa Pat, if you want to jump on as well and make it be like we do like every 3 day for each of us sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, man, anytime you guys want to do that, welcome to. Had fun. Maybe I'll pop one on today. I think I'm going to post the rest of my day is dog sitting. Shout out to Stella, Midas, and Goose. And I may write or post a review for my husband on my page. And watch UFC Fight Night, and pretty much that's my day. So maybe I'll get a monologue joke in there too.
Yeah, you do that, and while we're doing the monologue jokes, make sure y'all like, subscribe, share, comment, rate. Is rate a thing? I don't even know. Stars,
Maybe.
like them, share it on Yelp, do all the things. But thank y'all for tuning in. It's Proper Ebonics.
Yeah, enjoy the rest of your day and all that stuff. Thanks for listening.